This is a replay of the Thursday night, September 7th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and believe me, last night not many people did. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
James, with 3 hours to spend with you, a lot on my mind, but probably even more on yours, and whatever you'd like to talk about takes precedence always. So, 888-876-5593. 888-ROLLLYE. And we're going to be talking to Johnny D, because we got the report back from Caesar. First, we got a question from Don in Beloit. He's been hanging around. We'll find out about what that is. But before I get to any of it, I wanted to share the item that has me just, well, mystified. That's probably the best way to put it. Now, maybe you're aware of the One Chip Challenge. I wasn't. And I had no idea this was even a product. Packy makes chips, and an Austin-based company that sold themselves to Hershey in 2017 for $1.6 billion. Yeah, must be a nice payday on that. Well, that's about to evaporate, at least for Hershey, I do think. In any event, Hershey's been distributing the chips, and they're not only the One Chip Challenge. There are other spicy chips and things like that. But the whole concept of this One Chip Challenge is this one chip is enough to put you under the table. And so they have social media challenges and all this, and they have instructions on the little casket you get when you buy this. That's right. You get a coffin, actually, and one chip hermetically sealed. And each year, the chip ingredients change. But in a word, capsaicin. That's what we're talking about here. Absolutely capsaicin. And a lot of it. And so it is that a kid died. You knew this was coming. If you were aware of this, you had to know this was coming. And so now, Hershey is pulling the One Chip Challenge from store shelves. Yes, you could buy them in stores. And even though there are warnings on the package that says not meant for children and not meant basically for the infirm or those with allergies and on, nonetheless, it wasn't like buying cigarettes. Anyone could go in and buy a one-chip challenge, and I think it was $9.99, although the prices are going up now. Yeah, they're still available if you want them on eBay or probably Amazon. I think you'll still get them there and all that. And you're probably more aware of this than I am. But I am just stunned that this product would ever reach any shelf and that a company like Hershey would think buying it was a good idea and promoting it was a good idea. And so the kid who died is a 14-year-old from Worcester, Massachusetts. A single tortilla chip did him in. And again, the chip is meant to, you know, make you feel like you're going to die, but obviously they don't mean for you to die. But the fact that you can and do is the problem. And so this year, each year they change the ingredients, so to speak. This year it's the Carolina Reaper and Naga Viper chip, and, you know, these are peppers. But again, the bottom line is this is just tons of capsaicin, no matter how you spell it. And it says, inside one extremely hot chip. And so you're supposed to take them and take a challenge online, and the Packy Company even has a video showing showing people who've done this. The problem is that this chip has been making people sick for years. Now, this may be the first time it's linked to a fatality, but we are talking about hospitalizations and, of course, tons of people wishing they were dead because this is just a horror. And again, they say this should be kept out of the reach of children and intended only for adult consumption, and don't use this if you're pregnant. But the bottom line is that any advertising that says if you experience breathing trouble, fainting, or extended nausea after eating the chips, seek medical attention. You know, for most of us, that would be enough to say, oh, I think I'll pass. And they have a scale on it. Yes, if you can only last a minute, well, you're, you know, pretty much worthless. And if you can last over 10 minutes, well, you're pretty much a hero. And that's the deal. Now, if you are into spicy food, you know about the Scoville heat unit. And that's used to measure how hot people how hot peppers are. And so your average stuff, jalapenos and stuff, you're looking at 2,000 Scoville units, maybe at most 8,000 Scoville units on these average peppers, jalapeno, for instance. Well, the Naga Viper is at 1.4 million Scoville units, and the California Reaper is at over 2 million units. And that's not the only part. And by the way, people who love spicy food are one after another talking about, if I understood how bad this was going to be. Yeah, it wasn't that it was spicy. Oh, by the way, this year turns your tongue blue. Of course, you have to have effects as well. But one well-known fancier of spicy food said, I was on the floor in a fetal position. I wouldn't have eaten the chip if I'd known it would feel as if someone put me on the ground and kicked me in the stomach. Others were talking not only about the instant pain, but the scary part was even after the intensity of heat faded orally, it could still be felt in the body. In fact, one eater said you could feel it spread. That's the worst part. Suffering stomach pains into the next morning, some of these people were asked, "Would you do it again?" And he said, well, if it was highly requested by viewers, yeah, these people who are doing their challenges, but you can bet that Hershey's is going to be just held accountable. God, I hope so. So, normally when we talk about these stories like somebody spilling hot coffee on themselves or whatever, I'm like, get out of town. But in this case, no. I don't think you can sell a capsaicin-loaded chip that could kill people, and in fact, in this case, did, and get away with it. So that's my horror tonight. All right, so 888-876-5593. Now, if you've taken the Packy Challenge, obviously you live to tell about it. If you're listening to me, I'd love to hear about it. And more to the point, would you do it again? Yeah, that's the scary part, the answer to that. Don and Beloit, what's going on tonight?
Hey, it sounds like some people just give out chocolate chips, but one chip challenge, that sounds crazy.
Well, apparently it's been around for years, like 6 years they've been doing this. And I can't imagine who would think this is a good idea. But again, we're talking for the most part about people who want to be influencers and social media icons. And I guess, but I would think after hearing about the results in one case, a child with a stroke, and now a 14-year-old dead, you would think, no, I'll find another way.
Well, you know, sometimes those marketing teams they go out there on the streets without without checking with the legal department first.
Well, they're about to find out what it means, and I hope this woman takes them to the cleaners.
And you're out there hawking your own chips on I-90 years ago.
D-Day, Dorita Day.
The difference a few decades made.
Yeah,
the
only person who could have been hurt on D-Day, Dorita Day was me for being on the Northwest Tollway in traffic lanes.
I always like taking your stories in a big circle like that.
Mm.
Well, it's been tough to listen. I don't know if I've been telling you, but it's been a horrible summer for me in a way, because I've been commuting to Decatur and staying in Decatur for this environmental engineering project of mine that's almost done. So it's been tough to call in sometimes, but I've been listening.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. It's been going good. I mean, I'm shortly going to be on six hockey teams. I normally play on five. I'm going to do six this fall. I did a bike race over the weekend. I kayaked over the weekend. And I got a question. I asked some buddies. As you know, I have my own marketing team. Mm-hmm. And I asked my Wisconsin neighbors and my extensive bike nerds and the crazy hockey dudes in the locker room, but they all agree this is a really, and my farmer friends, Lisa from Ashcombe, and my farmer friends there, we all think this is a good answer, this good question for you and Jen. And I don't mean to put you, but we all love it when you talk about yourself, of course. I know I'm not the only one. But like in the mid-70s, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going like mid-70s on you more than like the other 70s.
Okay.
There was a lot of bands and genres. You know, I want your thoughts on this, on your thoughts on this theme. There was a lot of bands and many genres of music that never would have been a hill of beans, never would have been anything if it wasn't for that, you know, stupid producer hawking their records with cocaine, or they had all the girls, or they had somebody that came to the radio station with this and the salesmen, and they all did whatever together. Did you and John have any like funny stories like or horrible stories like witnessing something like that?
Well, firstly, mid-70s, I was promoting country records, first for Epic, which is a division of CBS, and then for Charlie Rich, of course, working as a promotion manager. So we did not have any of those experiences, because that was flat out not happening in country. Country at that point was still a second-tier format in terms of sales, no matter how you looked at it. I've mentioned before, if you had a number one pop album, maybe you sold a million units. If you had a number one country album, you were lucky if you sold 30,000. So the real key was hoping for crossover. And of course, Charlie Rich managed to do that. I guarantee you there were no drugs or anything else involved. The reality is, yes, certainly drugs flowed. No doubt about that. But anybody who thinks drugs made a hit really doesn't understand how hits are made. If a record is not going to be a hit, if it's absolute stiff, I don't care what you gave somebody, you're not going to promote that to the top of the charts. You're just not. And also, if a record really has it, I mean, this record's going to be number one, you know, you don't have to work very hard. Basically, as long as you know the stations have the record, that's really all you have to do. The magic happens when you have those mid-charters, those records that otherwise wouldn't chart, and with a lot of promotional effort, you make a chart. You're not going to make it number one. You may not even make it number 40, but you'll get it on the chart because you worked hard enough to do it. And I had some of those. I don't recall any of them being involved with cocaine. Now, any of that stuff. But let me back up and say that certainly, ever since the era of the Paola hearings, record companies and radio stations wanted to find a way to be at least one step removed from that, because there was hell to pay if you were going to be caught in that mess. Now, at the same time, apart from any of that chicanery, and I'll get back there, but was the reality for major record labels like CBS, they would release 20 records in a shot, 20 singles, and they'd really only have three of them that were push records, meaning those were the only ones you got promotional dollars yourself for making hits. In other words, out of those 20, three of them, man, you got a top of the chart in your market, you got a nice bonus check. The other 17, you didn't. Well, so what started to happen was artist management, who had records that were some of the other 17, recognized they had to have something other than the label pushing their records, and that starts really the advent of independent promotion. So from the original standpoint, independent promotion was meant to get the attention of the stations that the label wasn't going to otherwise do. Well, great. Well, the next thing you know, of course, independent promotion is the perfect vehicle for once removed. So you did have a number of promoters who were purveyors, and you name the pleasure there, but it was available. So That did happen. But in the mid-70s, country was nowhere near strong enough to be part of that. And that was my world. So you'd have to speak to somebody who was involved in pop promotion. And certainly it happened. But most of the time that I know that it happened, it was happening more through the indies than it was through the labels.
Were you living in Arkansas or Tennessee
Nashville,
much of that time?
Nashville.
Yep.
And commuting to Memphis.
Okay.
Yeah, because part of my job was Nashville and part of my job was Memphis. So, you know, that was that I-40 there, you know, three or four times a week I'd make that journey. But again, I mean, Charlie was unique in that he did cross over naturally and not with the help of drugs or anything like that. And he did sell millions of records. But the Tammy Wynette's of the world who would have a number one country album, it was going to be 20, 30,000 units and that's it.
Our friend, I don't know if you saw this. I'm sorry, I'm switching the subject. But that was really amazing. I mean, I know you lived it, and I knew you've been to so many radio stations in that era, but I forgot, like, till the early 80s, you were with Charlie Rich so much.
Well, as far as radio stations, I was a firm believer that when you promote, don't fly, drive. And anytime you see a tower, find out where the station is. And the littler, the better. Give them some albums. You give them some promo albums. You own these people. And invariably, the program director will get promoted to a better station. So, you know, I had more people who would drive somewhere with me. Oh, we got to stop. There's a tower. And I would do that. So it was really just hard work. There wasn't any. And believe me, the small stations, to them, 25 promotional albums to give away was the same as giving them cocaine. They didn't get those kind of freebies normally.
Yeah, yeah. I thought of you and Johnny from Ohio there, but I don't know if you've caught this, but Science Magazine has this big thing about ancient humanity. Did you see this article?
No.
I'll just mention this and move on. But wow, apparently based on some new unearthing of some new information, there was about 900,000 years ago, there was only about 1,280 adult humans on the planet. And we stayed at that level for a long time, about 117,000 years, it says. I don't know why they know. There was only, like, in other words, we almost went extinct and were wiped out. And I think somebody figured out muffins or chocolate chip or cookies or something.
Well, lately I've been reading the articles about they've been finding balls that they think the ancients were trying to perfect the perfect sphere. For what reason, I don't know. But apparently balls are in the news.
Oh, well, it's really neat that these Neanderthals and Homo sapiens, they're in the news again so much as...
Well, I thought
a lot of weather changes.
Yeah, I thought of Johnny D today too, because here in the Phoenix area, they're having the Abilities Expo tomorrow, and it's for people with disabilities and all the things that are available. And you know, from whether it's mobility aids or whether it's dogs or, you know, you name it, they got everything there. And I get the flyers, and my favorite was the hominid X fiber. I said, oh my God, hominid! I wouldn't even know what that was if it weren't for Johnny D. So apparently, hominid X builds wearable tools to help people reclaim the use of their hands. So you can bet I'll stop at the Hominid X booth, if nothing else, just to pay homage to Johnny D.
Maybe that's great. It's in your area. That's great. What a convention to be there. Wow.
Oh, yeah. No, the Ability Expos are throughout the country in various cities.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, listen, thank you. Have a great show. It's great talking to you, Raleigh, and catching up. I really appreciate it.
Good deal. Thanks for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, so we will talk to Johnny D in moments about Caesar, and the news, as far as I'm concerned, is good. Now, as far as getting another vet, he needs one. We'll talk about that coming up on WGN Radio.
Zoom. Guided missiles.
Zoom.
Guided missiles.
Zoom.
Guided missiles.
Now I know the enemy is you.
guided missiles bound to explode, destroying my heart. Is your goal? You have succeeded in making me blue. Now I know the enemy is you. You weaken my defenses with your tender kisses. You knew when you loved me, I never would resist. Now you got me.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and those are the Cufflinks. Yeah, on Due Tone. It's a soap opera. But these cufflinks were actually the first cufflinks on Due Tone, Dootsie Williams label. And the deal is Alfred Gatewood was in the service near Sacramento, and he had come to Due Tone wanting a deal, and Dootsie didn't like any of the songs, but he said, well, you know, write some more and let's see what you do. So he wrote Guided Missiles and went into a little studio in Sacramento and cut it, and Dootsie liked it enough that he released it. And actually, he didn't release the demo. He had the Cufflinks come to L.A. to record for Dootsie, and so they did. October of 1956, Guided Missiles and My Heart, and Alfred had written them both. The lead singer of Guided Missiles, by the way, was not Alfred, it was Robert Truesdale. But anyhow, it was released in November of 56. It became a big regional record. Number two in Pittsburgh, for instance. It was big in L.A. And yeah, Jimmy P. likes it. He had requested that, among other things. And you know, we were talking before with Don about record promoters sending out cocaine. Well, Dootsie didn't do anything like that, but he did send some pretty expensive cufflinks out to DJs willing to push the record. You know, this group was around for 2 years, but to this day, that's a classic, classic doo-wop. Now, 2 years isn't much for Dootsie Williams, so he figures, I need more cufflinkses. And so he comes up with another group, calls them the Cufflinks, L-I-N-X instead of L-I-N-K-S. And they had been the Raindrops, but he wasn't having any of that. And so they released records as well. They had absolutely nothing to do with Alfred and the Guided Missiles Cufflinks. In fact, pretty much Guided Missiles in My Heart is about as far as Alfred got. But he became a doo-wop classic, that's for sure. All right, so 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. Johnny D in Ohio, how are you doing tonight?
Well, how am I doing? Well, I'll tell you what, Raleigh. I was thinking, should I tell her this? But I guess I will, since she asked me that. I wish I wouldn't have did what I did a couple hours ago. I ordered a, from Marco's Pizza, I ordered what they call the ultimate something or other.
Yeah.
And it's got the ultimate Magnifico, I think they call it. The ultimate Magnifico. Okay. And it's got old world pepperoni, new world pepperoni, old world sausage, new world sausage, and about three cheeses on there. Okay?
Fine.
And then me, you know, I like spicy foods, you might recall. So because the lovely and talented Becky's over her grandkids' house tonight. Okay. She's sleeping over there. Right. But anyhow, so I get home, I go get the red crushed pepper, you know, my little sprinkly thing, you know.
Yeah, of course.
And there I sprinkle a bunch of red crushed pepper. I must ate about six, it was a medium, right?
Yeah.
And I ate like, I think I took four slices. I think there was eight slices. Anyhow, I ate about six slices of that pizza, right? With red crust pepper all over it, with all them pepperoni and sausage. And I got heartburn.
Yeah, I guess. But think about how bad it would have been if you were taking the one chip challenge.
I know. I was, what do you call it, daydreaming when you were talking. What the heck is that again? Is it a hot pepper? What is it?
Yeah, it's a marketing gimmick, obviously. It is one corn chip. It would look like a Dorito, except in this year it's kind of blackish in color. It's one chip that they put in a hermetically sealed, actually it's not, it's in a piece of plastic, and they have that in a little coffin-shaped box, and then you eat the chip, and if you can hold out without drinking water for 10 minutes, you're considered to be invincible.
Well, you know, I like spicy foods, but I'm not crazy.
That's right. Yeah. And you'd have to be crazy for this. It's
I never heard of it.
Well,
I mean, where would you find it?
On the shelf anywhere, apparently, but you and I would have passed it by because we're not into social challenges, social media, and all that. So more than anything else, people would, you know, make a video of themselves eating it and surviving it and putting it on social media and all that. And, you know, this was a gimmick the company in Austin started years ago. And then, like I say, Hershey bit and paid them $1.6 billion for the rights to all this. But the problem is, obviously, that as came as no shock to anyone who knows anything about, even mildly about the medical world, it could kill you, and it did.
Jeez, oh man.
Yeah.
Well, okay. That's crazy, but let me say this about Don, is it, from Beloit?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he's right. There was a period of time when there was only like 1,500 humans on the Earth, okay? There was like, and actually, with Neanderthals, there was never a point in time that there were, in the entire Eurasia, that there were more than 10,000 of them at one time, okay? But, yeah, and then I was listening to all these things. What is this, a robot thing or something?
Oh, the device that is the Hominid X? No, it's a wearable thing that I guess boosts your wrist. It's adaptive, and it can empower a user to have a secure and versatile grip when otherwise they could not grip. So it's these are all about accessibility. Tools for people who otherwise can't navigate their surroundings that absolutely empower them and allow them to do things that they couldn't do forever. And so it's part of the special needs community, and more people fall into that, whether it's that they had military accidents or whether we're just aging. But there are a number of
things. This is like a new technology.
Well, it's not, I don't know how new it is, but this company, that's what they're promoting at this particular show. But like I say, the only reason that I would have noticed it was it said Hominid X, and I thought, wow, Johnny D. All right.
Okay.
So, yeah.
No, but Don was right, and what else was it that I want to say that he was saying? Well, I forget what it was that he said.
Well, the idea of only 1,500 people. Now, let me ask you, because, of course, most of our history is based upon what we knew the world to be, or what you know, our descendants did, or what have you, ancestors. How do we know that that was true worldwide? In other words, how do we know that there wasn't an island in the South Pacific that had more people or something?
Don't ask me how we know. This is what the experts say.
Right,
I don't know.
Right. Yeah, because I often wonder, maybe they missed somebody. I don't know. I have no idea.
But, well, they know this, Wally. You know, because them people that look into this stuff, they kind of know what they're doing. And they know that there was 5 mass extinctions throughout history, right?
Okay.
Through knowing how they know it. But they know this. Oh, yeah, he said something about 900,000 years ago. But I think it was, what I heard and read and seen on YouTube, I think it was 90,000 years ago. There was a gigantic volcano that erupted, and it wasn't Krakatoa or nothing.
No, it's much bigger than that.
It was in Italy.
Yeah. You're talking about Pompeii?
Okay.
Like Pompeii?
It wasn't Pompeii. No. It was...
Okay.
It was bigger than that.
All right.
And it killed everything across Europe, and it almost made it into Africa. And that's a big controversy going on now in that field. You see, they're saying now that actually Homo sapiens, you know, modern humans, didn't really evolve only in Africa. They evolved also in Eurasia, right? And that's a big controversy going on now. The most famous paleoanthropologist is this guy named Chris Stringer, right? And he's like a big authority on all that. And even he's saying that they're finding evidence of, you know, Homo sapiens older in Europe and Asia than there were in Africa.
Well, that's what I think. As time goes on, they will find more. But I found the 5, the big 5, And it's interesting to me what they are. And, of course, the most recent one was 65 million years ago. So it wasn't, you know, just around the corner. But apparently...
You sure about that?
Well, no. It just says it's the end of the Cretaceous period. Asteroid impact in Yucatan caused global cataclysm and rapid cooling. Some changes...
Well, that was a dinosaur thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Then the end of the Triassic, 200 million years ago, underwater volcanic activity in Central Atlantic magmatic province causing global warming. See, global warming! And a dramatic change in chemistry composition in the oceans. Then there was the end of the Permian, which was intense volcanic activity in Siberia, not West Texas. This caused global warming, elevated CO2 and sulfur from volcanoes, causing ocean acidification, acid rain, and other changes. Then there was...
five mass extinctions, yeah.
Yeah, then there was the late Devonian, 360 million years ago, rapid growth and diversification of land plants generating rapid and severe global cooling. And then there was the end of the Ordovician, that was 444 million years ago, and intense glacial and interglacial periods creating large swings in sea levels and moved shorelines dramatically. Tectonic shifts of the Appalachian Mountains created lots of weathering, sequestration of CO2, and with it changes in climate and ocean chemistry. Now, this last one wiped out 86% of the species. The late Denovian was 75% of species, but the Permian wiped out 96% of everything in Siberia and everywhere else. The Triassic was 80%, and the Cretans, the dinosaurs, 76%.
Oh, yeah, so a lot of things got killed over time. I think they say that something like 90% of all the species that ever lived are extinct.
Well, I'm not surprised. Also, as you know, every one of these is some type of a weather event, if you will. So when people are talking about climate change today and they're worried about their fossil fuel, I say, I think you've got some bigger worries. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. And we will get to Caesar. We're not. We're going to go over the full report. And Johnny D should be smiling, unlike what his vet told him, should be smiling. So we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio. James, those are the Jesters. Yeah, so strange. 1957 on Winley. And they're a little Harlem group. They were junior high. They're Cooper Junior High, I think, around the time they recorded that. And a few years later, they did a version of The Wind, also on Winley Record. And, of course, that was a cover of The Diablos. But to this day, popular in New York among doo-wop favorites. All right, so Jimmy, if you want that one too. So we're talking to Johnny D. All right, so like I say, when I heard your voicemail earlier, you sounded so dejected. And then when I read the report, I thought, a pox on this veterinarian. So let's...
I know. You know, she was a nice lady. I mean, she was probably in her 40s, you know, early 40s. Real attractive girl. She's a vet, and she was real thorough. And, you know, when she was speaking to us, she looked at me, and then she looked at the lovely and talented Becky. You know, so she was talking to both of us.
Right,
And, you know... but Raleigh, you'll see in that report, I don't understand. That's a lot. And I'm thinking, well, I'll ask Raleigh because she's like a doctor.
No, I'm not like a doctor, that's for sure. And, of course, don't trust a disc jockey who talks so much, otherwise known as a talk show host, for real medical accomplishment. But I can read a report.
Oh, wait, I'm not to interrupt, Raleigh, but I got to say this about Don. I remember what I wanted to say. I'm thinking he must not be a septuagenarian because he's over there playing hockey over the weekend.
No, he's not. He's not.
Kayaking.
Yeah.
I'm thinking if I got in a kayak, I get stuck.
Yeah. Yeah. No. He's not. Those days haven't hit him yet. And again, what made me gasp when I read this report was that the doctor would even say about opting for euthanasia because we are in no way at that point based on what I'm reading. Okay, so basically...
Yeah, explain it to me.
All right, the first part, they're talking about the x-rays. There are 6 radiographs. And as you know from reading it, there was absolutely nothing in it that was out of normal limits, whether it was heart or pulmonary or, you know, any of this, the nodules...
From what I picked up, Raleigh, the heart is strong from what I read.
No,
I don't know.
It's not a question of strong or not. It's in looking at it, there's no abnormality, not in the trachea or any of that. Everything they're seeing is normal. The only thing they say is there's multifocal ventricle spondylosis deformans of the thoracic spine. Now you're saying, what the hell is that? Bone spurs. Okay, so what? Caesar's not young. He's got a little bone spurs on his spine. Perfectly normal. All right.
Maybe so, that's why I could see his spine so good.
Well, that's the abdomen. Again, we do have the liver moderately enlarged, but there can be a lot of reasons for that. The spleen and the kidneys are absolutely normal as far as that goes. There's no abnormal dilation. The small intestine primarily empty. We're not seeing any blockage. We are seeing the urinary bladder somewhat large, and we're seeing some mineralization, meaning all that means is there's small urinary bladder stones. At this point, nothing to be tremendously worried about. All right. So, again, so all we've got on all of these x-rays, all these expensive x-rays, is some bone spurs and some stones in the urinary tract and a little bit of osteoarthritis, all right? Now, let's look at the blood result. And the only thing I care about with blood results, are they way out of whack? For instance, if normal is 8.9 and you've got an 8.8, I'm not worried. You know, if normal is 102 and you got a 99, I'm not worried. I am absolutely concerned when I'm seeing glucose at 440, because normal for a dog would be about 70 to 138. So I know the glucose is elevated, and the first thing I think is, we probably have some diabetes going on. Also, increased GGT. GGT is gamma-glutamyl transpeptidase, and that will tell me, in the case of Caesar, that's kind of confirming diabetes to me, because the other thing I would be thinking about is he's drinking too much, and we know he's not an alcoholic. All right, so again, I'm looking...
Well, he drinks about four... what's a bottle of water?
Yeah, 12, no, we're not talking. We're not talking water here. He'd have to be drinking booze. And he's not. All right. So we know that he's not a drunk dog. And so because of that, we got another indication of diabetes. Now, when I'm looking at the ALP, the alkaline phosphorus, we've got a 386. And that's telling me about liver and bones, but it is not telling me the worst thing it could, because I have to look at the kidney with that. Hang on where you are, and we'll pick it up right there next hour right here on WGN Radio.
There are diamonds, pearls, emeralds, and rings. None of these jewels show me a thing. I want only, only, only. I want your love. Ooh, 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 dee, ooh. Your eyes.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. There's some Bakersfield do up for you. The Paradons, Diamonds and Pearls, 1960 on Milestone. And it's interesting, they got their name, not the Paragons, the Paradons, because they viewed themselves as a pair of Dons. Neither of them were named Don, but the deal was the two guys who were the big deal of the group, William Ralph Powers and Chuck Weldon, and Bill Myers too, but in any event, a couple of them were sitting on the porch and they were, you know, thinking of their wanton ways, and they said, well, there are Don Juans, and well, let's just be a pair of Dons, hence the pair of Dons. Okay, well, there you have it. And like everybody else, they started singing in bathrooms and garages and things like that, and they were at Bakersfield High when they appeared on Cousin Herb, which was actually a TV show. You don't want to know about it. And they sometimes would gig with Buck Owens, who was, you know, obviously Mr. Bakersfield himself, and ultimately it led to the record. And there were several others as well, but that was the big one in 1960. So back to Johnny D and Caesar's blood work. All right, I want to say on these chem results, there's only one thing that I go, I want to know a little more about this. Now, like I say, we know from this that there's diabetes, no doubt about it, the glucose at 440. And also when I look at that increased GGT and, you know, now like decreased calcium and chloride, that's so close to normal, I don't care about them. But now increased PSL, precision PSL, you see the normal range is 24 to 140, and Caesar's is at 2,776. Now, what that tells me, what that screams at me, is acute pancreatitis. And what's interesting is before this, when I was looking at this stuff, I was thinking, boy, I think he has chronic pancreatitis, but that level is so high, I'm almost putting it in the acute phase. Now, at that point, I want to go over to the CBC, the complete blood count, to see what I got. I'm interested in the white, and sure enough, I see that the white is double what the high end should be, and what that tells me is Caesar's fighting some infection. Now, you could look at it and say, oh, it means he has cancer. Not necessarily. You know, like in humans, it might mean he has a cold. But there's certainly some reaction there. Also, I look at the hemoglobin. That's what the HGB means. And I see he's slightly low. But again, that's so close to normal, I don't care. But when it's low, it could be like low-level anemia or things like this. Also, a little bit of bleeding. But HCT... hematocrit, the reality is that's just giving you a percentage of red blood cells. So that's kind of telling you more about is there infection going on or stuff like that. His platelet...
No, wait a minute, Ron. I don't mean to interrupt, but if what you're saying, you suspect, and you're not a veterinarian,
no,
but you're seeing this, and you have some knowledge, obviously, of these things. Why didn't they give him some medicine for infection?
Because it's not necessarily that broad spectrum. We want to know what he's infected with and how to treat it. It's not one size fits all. I'll get to that. His platelet count is high. That could tell me many things. I'm interested in it, but it doesn't give me a real answer. The increased neutrophils and his are high. Once again, I'm saying there's some infection going on. It could even be bone marrow. And then when I see bone marrow, I go back to ALP test, but I'm still not real concerned about this. But I see other things like the monocytes. Well, I'm seeing infection. Period. Now I look at his urinalysis, and I'm not worried about any of it. I see there's trace ketones, but again, with his level of diabetes, I would expect that. So if I were to put on my doctor's vest, which I shouldn't ever, and don't trust a word I say, but there's a blood test they didn't take that I would want them to take. And
oh, yeah?
In her write-up of what she thinks should be done, I don't see anything there. And I would, first thing I want to know is I want a CPLI. And that's
it. Let me write that down.
C like Caesar, PLI, pancreas lipase index.
CPLI.
Yeah, and that's
blood test.
Yeah, you can do it from blood. In fact, IDEX makes a SNAP FPL, which is a test they can do in the vet's office. They should have it right there. They can give you an immediate answer, and then they send out the CPLI for a lab diagnosis. But they should be able to do a SNAP FPL. And that's an IDEX test. I want to know.
Let me write that down. SPL, what?
It's called a SNAP FPL, like Florida Power and
Light. S-N-A-P.
And then FPL, like Florida Power and Light.
FPL.
Yeah.
All right.
And that's made by IDEX, I-D-E-X-X. And they probably can do that in the office. Most offices are set up to do those. But then then they draw the blood.
This is a pretty good place, you know.
Yeah, they'll have it. Then they can draw the blood for the CPLI. The reason I say that is the diabetes, there's many ways to treat it. I'm not terribly worried. But when you talk about acute pancreatitis, if it's at the acute stage, that is something that is almost a medical emergency because it can cause a number of things that you don't want to have happen, including hemorrhaging. Now, I have no way to know that we're anywhere near that, but because of this list, I wouldn't feel good without knowing what the what that one blood test told me, what that CPLI told me. Other than that, I wouldn't worry about any of the, in my opinion, obviously you got to do what you want to do, but my opinion is the other stuff can come later. Where she's saying can attempt to start diabetic regulation. Yes, absolutely, but let's find out what the CPLI is first.
Mm-hmm.
Because, the diabetes obviously isn't good, and it can give you every one of the symptoms that Caesar has. But the pancreatitis could be an immediate medical emergency, depending on what happens. So we want to rule out how bad that is first. Like, where are we on that? Because that's the first thing you need to treat.
Well, I'll tell you what. She spoke to the lovely and talented Becky earlier today mm-hmm. and sent her that email, all everything there. But Becky called me then.
Yeah.
Actually, I was sleeping.
Right.
But anyhow, then she called. But anyhow, and then she's crying.
Of course.
She's crying. I said, what's the matter? You know, yeah. And then she goes, that doctor, the vet called. And she's going up. But she doesn't understand it. She understands it less than I do.
But anytime you've got a vet who's saying you should consider euthanization, I mean, no.
I'm thinking, that's too brute, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So my advice, obviously, you may want to consult with another vet. I don't know how you feel about that. But if you're saying the same thing, say, hey, I want to know what that CPLI says.
Well, here's the thing. She told Becky that there's things they could do. It would cost between $3,000 and $5,000.
No. I know that. That's why I didn't talk about any of her suggestions. I know there are things that can cost you thousands. I would say before you had to worry about any of that, a CPLI test should be inexpensive.
Well, I have to mention that to Becky and tell her we're going to contact some people and find out why it wasn't done in the first place.
I wouldn't even care why. I'd just say, hey, could you please do this test?
Yeah.
I mean,
CPLI. I was talking to someone. I'll just.
Yeah, just say
whatever.
Yeah, CPLI.
Okay, Wally, I won't take up any more of your time. But I appreciate your expertise.
Well, I don't know how expert it is, but I don't think you're going to be spending thousands of dollars, and I do think that most of what could be down the road is down the road. But the only thing you would have to address immediately is the level of pancreatitis if it's there. So you'll do the CPLI, and you'll see where you are on that, depending upon the results, and then you will have to treat the diabetes. But that's not thousands of dollars.
Well, she told Becky that, I think it's in the email, too, that he could come in and start something.
Well, and I don't know that you have to start outpatient treatment. I think it could also be depending things that you could put in his food.
Really?
So, yeah, depending, yeah. So, I mean, there's... I guess I was surprised because I see, on the one hand, the potential for so much overkill, and on the other hand, missing something that I consider to be just basic. Now, the other thing is it's possible they did a CPLI, and it's just not in these results. So if that's the case, just find out what it is, because I see the rest.
Well, here's the deal, Wally. Today I had him out on the deck. You know, we go out on the deck a lot when it's nice. And he's seen a squirrel, and they got some weird squirrels down here. They're all black. Right?
Yeah.
The squirrels that I was used to in Youngstown were brown, you know?
Okay.
Down here, they're pitch black, black, these squirrels.
Right.
And Caesar sees these squirrels, and he gets, you know, and he still gets excited. He wants to get up and, you know, and growl at them, but he's not you don't have the gumption he used to. I'll say that.
Well, that could be from the level of diabetes. I mean, those things are reversible. I'm not, you know, all the symptoms that you're talking about could be just because he's metabolic so out of whack that he needs to be reset. So I'm not looking at that like this is necessarily a lifelong change. And the only thing I'm harping on the pancreas is that can be very serious and very quickly. So, but it's possible that they did test for it because a lot of the things that she's saying is the rest normal. So we want to find out, okay, was that part of the rest being normal? Let's find out what the CPLI results are, if that's the case. And if that's not done, then do it. But if that's normal, if the CPLI is not showing
pancreatic cancer,
I'm not worried about cancer on that. Pancreatitis can be just as devastating, trust me. So she's saying there's elevated PSL, suspect pancreatic inflammation. Yes, but she's saying suspected from the diabetes. Well, it's not necessarily cause and effect. It could be the pancreas problem that's causing the diabetes, not necessarily the diabetes that's causing the cancer. It can go either way, but we don't know that. That's why I want to know what this CPLI is telling me. And, you know, if there's any vets listening, of course, they're probably vomiting at my explanations and hopefully can call and give you better advice than I do. But that, like I say, that's my only immediate concern because pancreatitis.
Well, euthanasia's out of the question
right now. Absolutely. No, that's why I got, you know, just really pissed when I read this. Because it's just not right for you to
even
have.
Me too.
Yeah, you shouldn't even have to read that. I'm sure she had the best intentions, but you'll decide if you're going to stick with her or go to somebody else. But find out what that CPLI is, and maybe they did it.
All right, I'll find out. Well, thanks.
Right, let me know.
Thanks again for explaining.
My pleasure. Keep me posted.
I will. Thanks again.
Oh, my pleasure. Bye-bye. Yeah, all right. So, yeah, I don't think Caesar's a goner, but I also think that, yeah, no matter how much you love your animal, the reality is that when you're looking at, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars, there does come a point where you say, you know, I just can't bear this. And believe me, I understand that. But in this case, I don't think we're anywhere near needing to do that. I think we just need to get a handle on, is there pancreatitis in there? And if so, how are we going to treat that? And then finding a regimen for the diabetes. And that's Caesar should feel markedly better than, you know, down the road if there are other problems. Well, that's for another day. All right, well, I wish Johnny D the best, obviously, and Caesar, too, of course. But, yeah, that kind of thing, talk about bad bedside manner. Yeah, I don't think those are the kind of things that you want to be reading. You know, the euthanasia word really doesn't need to be in the report at this time. All right, so 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and of course those are the Chantels. Yeah, Arlene Smith, and that was without a doubt one of Scotty's. In fact, I think that he considered the Chantels to be the best female duo group ever. And I know Jimmy P liked My Memories of You, too. That wasn't a single for them. It was on an album that was put out in 1961 on End called There's Our Song Again, and it was a cut on that. But when I was getting ready to play that, John came in and he said, "Don't you play that by somebody else?" I said, "Well, yeah, the harp tones.
Please give me more than just memories of you.
All I have to give me is my memories of you. I sat alone that night and wonder what did I do. I lost you, it's true, but I still have my memories of you. Memories of you."
WGN Radio, and that is the Harp Tones original, which was actually on Tip Top Records, and that was 1956, and it was a flip side to High Flying Baby. And Tip Top was actually a label in Richmond, Virginia, but known for a doo-wop more than anything else. So there you have it. 888-876-5593. And apologies to Johnny D. It's not a Snap FPL. It's a Snap CPL. If it was an FPL, it would be for cats, feline. I just looked that up. Yeah, you don't want a feline, you want canine. So Snap CPL as far as that test for dogs, not cats. Although pretty much it's obviously testing for the same thing, and you want to find out about that. But that's tough. There's nothing more helpless than having a dog or a cat, as far as that, in tremendous distress, and there's nothing you can do about it. It was one of my biggest nightmares. I'll tell you about that, too. But your calls are welcome. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Down, 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 down,
because if you look at the Srimad Bhagavatam, or however you pronounce that, which sets forth a lot of Hindu theology, you find out that, yes, there are four castes, but they're not based upon birth order. They're based upon your abilities. And so it's very interesting that that the official word for this was so very different from the way that it has played out. And, of course, you've got the four castes, the Brahmins at the top that everybody hears about, and then the Kshatriyas, or however you pronounce that thing, and they're like warriors, and then you get the landlords, I think Vaishya or something, and all that. And then you get to the workers, if you will, the peasants. But beneath, who have a name too, of course, it's all unpronounceable to me. I don't speak Hindi, but Shudras or something like that. In any event, beyond that is a class, the Dalits. And they're the untouchables. And what's interesting is that there are cases in California where Dalits have been denied housing, where they have been treated badly in work situations, paid less, things of that nature. And that's just astounding to me that that is the case. But, of course, to anybody facing that kind of discrimination, I guess not astounding at all, but absolutely unacceptable, which I would thoroughly agree. But, again, it seems to me that the laws we currently have would not let you discriminate in this way, so that we need another bill specifically for castes. And, you know, it's interesting where they talk about colleges and universities are adding castes to their non-discrimination policy. To me, a non-discrimination policy should be just that. You don't have to set forth what you're discriminating against in terms of that. You just can't do it. But they'll probably pass that indeed. But I can only imagine. All right. So we've got a number of things we can discuss, including, of course, the tabloids. Yeah, I know, slime from the checkout line. But it's interesting because when I picked up the mail the other day in Globe, I discovered that apparently I never did subscribe to this publication. But I don't know if somebody subscribed me or whatever. But I'm now getting Us Weekly on a regular basis, and we can talk about Britney Spears inside her life alone. You knew it was coming to that, right? All right, or you could call and change the subject entirely. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Don't play it no more. Don't play it no more. Don't play it no more. No, 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 no. Don't play that song for me. It brings back memories of days that I once knew, the days I spent with you. Oh no, don't let it play. It fills my heart. So what it said, it said,
darling, I love you.
You know that you lied.
Darling, I love you.
You know that you lied.
Darling, I love you.
You know that you lied.
Whoa.
You lied.
Whoa.
You lied.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Don't play it no more. Don't play it no more. Don't play it no more. No, 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 no. I remember on our first day, you kissed me and you walked away. You were only 17. I never thought you'd act so mean. You said,
darling, I love you.
But baby, you lied. Yes, baby, you lied.
Darling, I love you.
You know you lied.
Whoa.
Oh,
whoa, whoa.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 1962, Don't Play That Song. You Lied, Benny King on ATCO. So that was another one of Jimmy P's requests, and happy to do that. I got one more to go. I think he wants Desiree, the Charts. He knows I don't particularly like it, but interestingly, it was John who came in and said, well, I like it. Yeah, it was definitely a Jerry Blabbitt record, so you'll hear it. But Don't Play That Song. Ahmet Erdogan wrote that, actually. And other than that, I think Jimmy Haskell was the guy who produced it, but that's about all I know. So 888-876-5593, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. So never a dull moment for Britney Spears. And so now, as of August 20th, about 2.5 weeks ago, she confirmed her split from Sam Asghari. You know, it's funny, when I used to talk with Scotty regularly, that, and of course, he was a tabloid reader as well, so we'd always compare notes on what we'd seen, and he was just convinced that this marriage wouldn't work. Not that he was by himself. I was right alongside him, as were, I'm sure, millions and millions of people. But, you know, he was just aghast at how young Sam was. And he said, he just did it for the money. Well, apparently, Scotty's probably going to be proven right. So, you know, in terms of what Britney is going to do, it's still unknown. Asghari filed for divorce on August 16th, citing irreconcilable difference. But from what I understand, he already is trying to, in fact, attack the prenup in terms of that. So, of course, all the Britney watchers are, well, who's she with now? Well, the scene riding around in her Mercedes was Paul Richard Solis. Actually, a former employee, but a former employee with a criminal background, allegedly. And, you know, I can't imagine. Obviously, Britney has her issues to say. She'll keep the tabloids going for years. But it's very sad all the way around. And while it makes great tabloid fodder, I shudder at some of the stories. So you can read it for yourself in Us. That is Us Magazine, the September 11th issue. Yeah, how fitting. Yeah, 9-1-1 on Monday, indeed. And we'll have Monday Night Trivia, as usual. We'll see what we'll do there. So if you want to call, that's great. If you don't, I'll just prattle on. And yeah, I seem to be able to do that with a certain amount of regularity. And I've got where was it here? Another one of these tabloids with a royal couple, of course. Yes, not royal anymore. Apparently, Ingrate Harry is in the news in more way than one. And none of them mean anything. But I still say there should be an award for creativity, and it goes to the headline writers, because the headlines are so enticing, and then you get to the actual stories, and it's usually not. Though some of the pictures are alarming. There's a Demi Moore picture that I think, oh man, she would have paid not to have that in there. Meanwhile, of course, Britney, the gift that keeps on giving, is in every tabloid, including this week's issue, or last week's issue, I should say, of The Globe, the September 4th issue, where they're claiming Britney is putting voodoo hexes on her exes. There's a song in there somewhere. Colin Farrell, Justin Timberlake, Jason Alexander, Kevin Federline. She has voodoo dolls for each of those, and she supposedly has spells and chants, according to insiders. All right, then. So what else can we share with you? Actually, those are the fun things, because then you get to some of the stories that are just absolutely unconscionable. And there's been a spate of them in Florida recently. And this one, a 6-year-old boy shot to death by a 9-year-old boy, both of whom were in the company of an adult in the middle of the afternoon. And so they're on Shady Pine Street at 2:45 on Monday, when an adult is present guarding the children, obviously not too well. No charges filed against the adult at this point that I know of, and no identity of any of the players yet as well. But the initial investigation showed that the two children were inside the residence in the care of an adult. One of the juveniles had a firearm, obtained it somehow in the house, and fired a single shot, striking the victim. No indication of criminal violence. And the adult was obviously taken in for questioning, but I don't know what the upshot of that that is. But the thing that really caused my head to just turn around like I was starring in The Exorcist was an anonymous neighbor who said, "It's terrible, terrible. It breaks my heart. I always tell my kids, I teach them not to touch my gun." No, 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 no. The deal is your gun shouldn't be touchable. You know, I'm very much a believer in the Second Amendment. You can't dissuade me of that. But with rights come responsibility, period. And I think that any adult who would allow a gun to be available to any child, yeah, teach him not to touch it. No, not good enough. That weapon should be in a place that that child could never reach it, to say the least, or anybody else that you didn't want to reach it, obviously. But meanwhile, we have three other kids in Florida dying of accidental deaths, accidental shootings. One occurred in February where a three-year-old shot himself when he gained access to a weapon. How exactly does a three-year-old gain access to a weapon? The first thing I thought of when I read that sentence, actually, was I'm starting to understand why they have these ridiculous warning labels on things. You know, the kind of things you think, who would do that? Yeah, well, then a few weeks after that, there was a four-year-old from Orange County who accidentally shot himself picking up a weapon visiting his father. No, absolutely not. And then we have one more where a two-year-old dead in Broward County, Fort Lauderdale area, after sustaining a gunshot wound while playing with a loaded weapon. A two-year-old. Firstly, how is that two-year-old alone? Why is there no adult presence to begin with? And then, how on earth could that two-year-old have gotten a weapon? See, I can't begin to imagine that. There have been 15 kids shot in Jacksonville this year alone, but those are some of the more, you know, eyebrow-raising, to say the least. It seems, sadly, if your child is going to visit a friend's house, a relative's house, any house but your own, you might want to find out before you say, oh, fine, are there firearms in the house? How are they stored? Again, I'm not in any way trying to say that gun ownership isn't your absolute right. But with that absolute right comes absolute responsibility. And I think in this case, every one of those parents should be held liable. That is just unacceptable. And like we found out about the six-year-old who shot his teacher in the Tidewater area, that, you know, not only could he get the gun, but meanwhile, mom is drugged out at the time. No, it's the adult who should hang for this, because this is just so unacceptable on every level. All right, I want to get off the soapbox and talk about something fun, although most of the news that James sent today is not particularly fun. And if you're not scared you're going to be accidentally shot to death, then what will happen to you if you take various supplements and all of those things, or what you eat, will you develop dementia? There's a no shortage on that, to say the least. You know, we laugh about, selling someone the Brooklyn Bridge. Johnny Maestro, who had been in the Crests a decade later when he was starting a new group and looking for a record contract, someone said, yeah, you got about the same chance of selling the Brooklyn Bridge. And hence he used the name the Brooklyn Bridge, and of course had a big hit with Worst That Could Happen. But the Brooklyn Bridge is not, in fact, for sale. And the problem is no longer unscrupulous people trying to sell it to foreigners. It is that the Brooklyn Bridge has become a mile-long souvenir shop and flea market due to illegal vendors clogging up the walkway. And they're talking about banning all vendors. See, I didn't know you could have vendors on the bridge. I didn't realize this, but ease overcrowding on the elevated pedestrian walkways. So apparently this is a serious thing, and it's not just limited to hot dogs and water bottles, but there are a number of unlicensed as well as licensed vendors. The licensed vendors were, well regulated, but now unlicensed vendors have caused it to be just, well, I guess the phrase disgusting flea market is as good as any. We'll talk to James from the South Side about some of the other stories he sent, and maybe a couple things on your mind too, we could hope. That would be 888-876-5593, 888-ROLLYE, right here on WGN Radio. radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's an acquired taste. And Jimmy P. likes it, and John likes it. And of course, it's a Jerry Blavitt favorite. Jerry Blavitt liked it so much, he named his youngest daughter Desiree. And that is Desiree, the Charts, a group from New York, from Harlem, 1966 on Wand. All right, so I've got a couple things before we get to James that I wanted to share. And, let's see. I know what it was. I knew there was something on my mind about this, and now I gotta find it because it was right in front of me there for a moment, and now not. Oh, okay, New Delhi. All right, so the G20 summit is coming up, and it will be Saturday and Sunday this weekend. And so these will be the, 20 financial countries, movers and shakers in the world, all getting together. And so it'll be the German chancellor and the prime minister from Japan and everywhere else, right? Okay, and they're all coming down to New Delhi. Well, so New Delhi is trying to make sure that they are a hospitable host, so to speak. And they have a little problem. The rhesus monkey. Okay, now here's the deal. It is illegal in India to harm them or remove them. So they're ruling the streets is what's happening. So here are the brightest minds of New Delhi, both of them. And they are thinking, what can we possibly do? And so they decide, well, let's install life-size cutouts of bigger primates with black faces. Let's use the langur around the city to scare the monkeys away. The monkeys weren't scared. Was the bottom line. So now the New Delhi Municipal Council is employing people to mock the langur sounds so the monkeys will believe they are real. Can you even imagine what's going to go on in these politicians' mind when they see this act? Oh, man, I hope there is film at 11, that's for sure. All right, so with that in mind, we welcome James to WGN Radio. I don't know if that was one of your many stories, but I couldn't pass it up.
I wish it was. I don't think that was one of them. Mm. I'm fairly certain. Okay, I found a couple ones, but I don't know if you'll get a chance to look at them because the thing, I think it was blocking it for a little bit. But one of them was where a guy was advised by his doctor to get more walking in, so he got himself a metal detector.
What?
And this was in Norway recently, and he found some jewelry, gold jewelry that dated back to the 6th century.
Huh. How about that?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Okay. On the other hand, there was a guy who videotaped himself destroying a Neolithic site.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, as we say, stupid is stupid.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of that, I'm sure. So you did give me the good news that Amazon is going to pay me for my old electronic devices.
Yeah, that's that's good. We do at least something, because I think they think things where they were like where people were accepting old electronics stopped for a while because of the pandemic, then I guess finally started up again.
Well, so I just wonder how many people are going to know to make sure they wipe those devices before they turn them in.
Oh, yeah, because you don't want to leave with somebody and they say, oh, what's this? Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's
the left.
The first thing I thought of when I read that, I thought, man, there could be an ulterior motive here. Pardon me for being questioning of that, but I don't know. That is going to be interesting. So.
Then there was then there was something that I didn't get actually that I kind of set you on a late part about. Well, we know. Okay, you figure. Okay, now there's quite a few people who make businesses that make good use of PPP loans.
Oh yeah, and there's a lot of people who didn't make good use of PPP loans, including some politicians, some of whom are having to resign.
Yeah, and then there's the here in Chicago where the school boards in the Chicago public schools, at least high ranking officials who basically, including one who tried to claim they were a chef at one point. Yeah. And then another one who tried to claim that they didn't take it out, that they got hacked or something like that.
Then we have Whirlpool shelling out $11.5 million due to a unique feature on their stoves that most people didn't know they had. They turn themselves on.
Oh, that's a real scorcher.
Oh, God, you didn't. 9 U.S. factories, including 5 in Ohio, is shelling out millions, not only because they manufactured stoves that turn themselves on, but they didn't bother to tell the public when they found out about it. And so this is 17 models, including Gen Air, KitchenAid, and Whirlpool, with radiant electric heat cooktops, and a defect makes them turn on by themselves. And I worry about that because most of us who have those type of cooktops, when we're not using it as a stove, which is most of the time, we put all sorts of things on those cooktops.
We including our hands.
That's just momentarily. But, you know, you lay your wallet on that. Of course you do. And everything else. So apparently they've known about this since 2017. And apparently did they had over 157 reports of cooktops going rogue. So, I would.
That's like Siri. Tell me, okay. And then Siri says, oh, no, I'm not Siri. I'm basically telling you what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you have it. Then we have a tile maker who apparently we have plenty of fines because the 14th worker's been injured. It is in America, of course, a U.S. vinyl tile manufacturer with 200 employees in Fostoria, Ohio. Apparently, it's a subsidiary of a South Korean company. Have an interesting take on OSHA regulations, to say the least. The 14th worker in 6 years suffered an injury, and in this case, we're talking it was only a finger amputation. But nonetheless, amputation is amputation. I don't care how small the part is. And so, glove finger ensnared in a chain and sprocket system that didn't have any safety guards in place. Yeah, so...
That's not good.
Absolutely not. You know, we talk about OSHA's overreach, but this is one where, probably they should have been a little more diligent in inspecting these people, so now it'll be plenty of fines.
Hey, we don't mind you throw the book at them in this case.
So then we have the seatbelt warnings. Apparently, they're going to get more annoying. I saw that. They according to the CDC, the risk of death for drivers and front seat passengers is cut in half when they wear seatbelts. Yeah, well, we could go on about that. But nonetheless, they're proposing new rules that would require automotive manufacturers to extend seatbelt warning systems throughout the vehicle's cabin. Right now, the rule only requires a warning for the driver's seat. The proposed changes would require warnings for front and rear passenger seatbelts as well. Now, by the way, usually these warnings are set up by virtue of the weight that is on the seat. I can imagine the number of packages that are going to get this warning. But nonetheless, I don't know how they're going to know whether it's a person or a package. But so
the only way I can think of is if they have like some little camera thing.
Well, even worse. You'd hate to think that your car's spying on you, though you know it probably is. And so
who knows? There might be some pervos who basically say, oh, I can drive nude. We won't go there.
Yeah, well,
we won't go there.
Could be interesting Christmas party tapes, if nothing else. In the meantime, they're suggesting that all the automakers will have to have audio-visual alerts. All right, so if you're worried about driving distracted, this is a whole new way to be distracted, I would think. But the National Highway Transportation Safety people say it'll be worth it. Yeah, well.
You were talking about the Brooklyn Bridge, then when I thought about it, I was thinking about that one song where it basically says, if you believe that, I'll throw in the Golden Gate Bridge for free.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
Yeah, but here's the was one other. I'm not saying why I should let you have that for next week to use for or not. It's like it was another archaeological find, but it was in England. It was in Wales.
Okay. Okay, well,
you'll probably want to save that for next week.
And I probably will, but I'll close with this. There is a Caribbean island where everybody's abandoning because they think it's going to sink.
Oh yeah, that's sad. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay, that reminds me of a movie where the whole world sinks except for Japan.
Oh man.
Yep, there was a. I kid you not, there was a movie.
Somehow I don't doubt it. All right, always wonderful. Yeah. Thank you for all the many, many, many stories. Just great.
Oh, and one other thing. Okay, one request. Okay, a Patsy Cline song for next week, since right now it's just turned to September the 8th, which she had of not run into an unfortunate thing with a plane. She would be 91.
Yes. All right, what song?
Okay, let's see. A Poor Man's Roses.
Okay. You got it. Okay. We'll do it. All right, thanks. Okay. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
You have a nice weekend.
Yeah,
and John, keeps on getting better. That's
well, thanks. Yeah, I appreciate
okay,
that.
Okay, you have a great and blessed weekend.
You too. All right, so this island is sinking. It's off Panama, by the way. And there's no drinking water. The residents are going out on boats to collect it from rivers or things like that and then purify it. There's no reliable electricity, and at most there's a couple hours of power from a public generator. Some have solar panels, but that hasn't been working out too well. None have their own toilets. This is an entire island of this, and the government has many promises, but the bottom line, they say they'll be ready by the end of this year or 2024 to move families to the mainland, a 15-minute boat ride away. But until then, there are people living in squalor here, and it's a small Caribbean island, and the rising waters are threatening to take more of the homes, some of which are on stilts and things like that, and there's barely an inch to spare. Their houses are crammed together. It's not idyllic, to say the least, and it's an indigenous community that live off of fishing and things like this, but it has now gotten literally life-threatening. So the government is saying, well, we'll get you to the mainland, but time has gone on and nobody's gotten there yet. But now, in the meantime, looks like maybe they will. So of all the places when you're hearing about idyllic island living, this ain't on the list. So they say they're going to build 300 homes for 300 families with an average of 5 people per family. Well, we'll see. That the math still doesn't add up. There's going to be some people on the island, to say the least. It's a pilot plan, they're claiming. Yeah, all right, then. 888-876-5593. We'll talk to Elizabeth in Rock Falls. Oh, no. Mr. Chubbs, she's got pet problems. All right, all coming up on WGN Radio.
Just you know why. Why you and I will by and by know true love ways. Sometimes we'll sigh, sometimes we'll cry, and we'll know why. Just you and I know true. Throughout the days, our true love ways will bring us joys to share with those who really care. Sometimes we'll sigh, sometimes we'll cry. just you and I, no true love way.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and of course that's Buddy Holly, who would have turned 87 today, born in 1936 in Lubbock. Sadly, of course, died February 3rd, 1959 in Clear Lake, 22 years old. That was in the last session he did, and I think that was at the Pythian Temple in 1958. He also did It Doesn't Matter Anymore and Raining in My Heart and Moon Dreams, and that was never a hit in the United States by Buddy Holly, of course. It was posthumously released, first on an album, but then as singles. It did hit in Great Britain. It was released on Coral in the U.S. in 1960 and didn't chart at all. And then, good old British Invasion, Peter and Gordon had the big U.S. hit, got to number 14 on the Billboard Hot 100, and top 10 in a lot of countries, number 2 in Great Britain. And, of course, Mickey Gilley did a wonderful cover of it in 1980, number 1 on the country charts, but not the pop charts. But nonetheless, I think of all the Buddy Holly records, that's my absolute fave. And he wrote it as a wedding gift for Maria Elena. And that's the deal on that. So producer Norman Petty, of course. All right, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, so let's find out. I believe we're going to find out about the latest on Mr. Chubbs. Elizabeth in Rock Falls, what's going on?
Well, Mr. Chubbs, he had dental cleaning.
Oh.
And they had to extract two teeth.
Oh.
One was cracked, and the other one was loose.
Oh.
And so with all the blood profiles and anesthesia and medications afterwards, it came to almost $900.
Hang on a minute. Stay right where you are. I'm blowing the news again. Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
If I don't love you, baby, grits ain't grocery, eggs ain't poultry, and Mona Lisa was a man. Oh, yeah! Let's get into it! Listen! All around the world, I'd rather be a fly. I'd light on my baby, stay with my woman till I die. With a toothpick in my hand, I'd take a 10-foot ditch and run off through the jungle fighting lions. Switch because you know I love you, baby. Oh, you know I love you, baby, yeah. Now, if I don't love you, baby, I'll tell you, grits ain't grocery, eggs ain't poultry, and Mona Lisa was a man. Oh, baby. Listen. All around the world, I've got blisters on my feet. I'm trying to find my baby and bring her home with me. You better run into me, baby, and be convinced. If you run into me right now, woman, you ain't got no sense, because you know I love you, baby.
WGN Radio. I'm Ronnie James. Lil Milton, of course, with a remake of Grits and Groceries. Well, that's what he called it. Of course, the original Lil Willie John was All Around the World, but that was 1968 on Checker, and Calvin Carter produced it in a fine version of that. Lil Milton would have turned 89 today, born in 1934 in Mississippi, grew up in Greenville. Ike Turner signed him as a kid, pretty much to Sun Records, did a lot of singles and nothing hit. So he moved to East St. Louis, and that was great because he started Bobbin Records, and you might know some of the artists, Fontella Bass, Albert King, and more. And he did a distribution deal with Chess, which is what got him into the label. Sadly, died in 2005 in Memphis just before his 71st birthday. He had a stroke. But yeah, in 68, he was riding high with Grits Ain't Groceries, Eggs Ain't Poultry, and Mona Lisa was a man. All right, now, I didn't notice that the news was on, which is so typical and so, of me. And so it is that I was talking with Elizabeth in Rock Falls, and we will again, but Mr. Chubbs is what we were discussing. Mr. Chubbs just had dental surgery. Well, actually, it was going to be a teeth cleaning, and then they had to pull a couple teeth. So $900 later, hopefully Mr. Chubbs is doing better than your wallet, Elizabeth.
Much better.
Good, good. Is he eating again? Because, you know, nothing stops Mr. Chubbs.
Oh, he was eating fine. There's no problem there whatsoever.
Oh, I'm sure that's right. Yeah. Good.
But I wanted to tell you about a problem I had last week.
Yeah.
I looked out my dining room window, which looks out on the road. I'm more or less on a country road.
Okay.
And I saw a white van pull over to the side of the road. The woman in the passenger seat got out, reached into the seat behind her, pulled something out and put it down there right beside the road, drove away. So I walked over there. It was moving, and I got over there, and here was this, wasn't a kitty, it was a young cat.
Oh.
Just sitting there, completely bewildered.
Oh.
And semis and farm machinery are going pell-mell down this road.
Yeah.
Where it sat, so I just kept talking kitty kitty to it, and it finally came over to me and was very friendly, and I picked it up and brought it over to my house and put it in the garage because he could hear the dog barking inside. It looked like it was scaring him, so put him in the garage, and I contacted the local Happy Tail shelter. And they had a medical problem going on there.
Oh.
So she said, take him to animal control.
Oh.
So I went there, and she said, to be honest, if we take him, he'll be killed this afternoon along with a bunch of other cats.
Right, of course.
And I couldn't take that. So
no.
I came home from home crying, carrying on. I called 8 shelters from all around this area. And no one had room for a cat. So then I started asking people I knew
if they wanted a cat.
And finally, my one friend, her grandson was visiting her, and he lives on a little farmette not too far away. And she said to him, Kyle, would you like a cat? And he said, oh, sure.
Oh, man.
So he came and got him with his litter box and the little bed and the food I'd gotten him and the flea collar and I don't know what else, and took him to his home. And he said he's doing fine. He said he can be inside if he wants to. He can be outside if he wants to.
Good, good. What kind of cat is it, do you know?
It's just a gray striped tiger cat.
Okay, short-haired?
Short-haired with a real long tail that looks like a raccoon, you know, how they're striped.
Nice, nice. All right, so we got a good home. Well, you did good.
He was so sweet, Raleigh. He had amber green eyes, and I'd go out there. I took a patio chair into the garage and put a blanket over me, and he'd sit there for an hour just petting and purring, and it's somebody's pet, and how they could do that, I just don't know.
Oh, I know. I know they do. Yeah, they do with dogs too. I hear these stories all the time, and it's just heartbreaking to me, especially if the dog or cat had been in the home quite a while.
I know, and it was very content in my garage. But I left the door open. I walked out down the driveway around the side of the house so it couldn't see me. And I came back, and it's still standing there right at the door of the garage. It would not step a foot outside the garage.
Yeah, well, who would blame it? Look at what happened last time.
I know.
And I guess it was not going to bond with Mr. Chubbs anytime soon.
Well, he was wagging his tail like, what is it? What is it? You know, but it was hissing and scared, and I didn't want him to hurt it either. So,
well, either way, or the cat to hurt him.
No. Oh, yeah, it had its claws, all right.
Oh, yeah, no, and scared is a very frightening proposition, because they may be sweet as all get out, but if they're scared, they can do some damage.
Oh. Well, he scratched me a few places, but I didn't get cat scratch fever from it. So.
Well, glad to hear that.
And then this young man took the cat to a friend's house, who had little children, and they just loved playing with it. They built a home for it out of boxes.
Oh, wow.
So it gets along with kids, too. And happy. It was a happy ending. But if I hadn't come home that afternoon and not looked out my window, that cat would have been squashed on the road, I know. Because he didn't know the first thing about where he was.
Wow.
Maybe that's part of living in the country. I don't know.
Well, it wound up being a happy ending, and that is good news.
I'm just afraid to look out my window now.
Well, right, to find out if there's going to be a person left on the street next time. Yeah.
Well, dog, I could handle, but I can't keep a cat. My son is highly allergic to cats, and he'd never be able to come over.
Yeah. No, another dog might be all right. I don't know how Mr. Chubbs would react.
Hard telling. He's friendly with a little dog that came in with a friend a while back.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
So now, how are we doing on the diet for Mr. Chubbs, not for you?
Well, he's... No, I don't need to... I've been losing weight.
Yeah, right. Right.
He's still about 6 pounds under. He's not losing much anymore. I'm not walking him as much because the hot weather...
Right.
And but the last week he walked out the back door, and I saw him digging at something, and the next time I looked, here he had a baby rabbit out of a hole and had already killed it.
Oh.
So we had to move him to the front door to go out.
Oh.
I know. My grandson came over with a spade and picked up the dead one, and I reached in the hole with a glove on, and something squeaked, so there was something more in there.
Oh, God.
I've just had too much animal drama.
Yes, you have. You absolutely have. Well, at least it keeps you entertained.
Well, part's entertainment, part is misery.
Well, right. But so Mr. Chubbs has healed, and hopefully he doesn't need another vet visit for a while. He could stand it, but your wallet can't.
No. Oh, my gosh. By the time they get with the blood profile, anesthesia, the medication afterwards, and the dental x-rays, is almost worse than when I had one pulled. But they did a good job, and he came out just happy. The biggest problem was that morning I couldn't feed him. And he kept looking at me like, wait, what are you doing? I haven't had breakfast.
Right, of course, of course.
Loaded him in the car, and we went out there, and I told the technician he hasn't had anything to eat now. So he walked off with her just wagging his tail, and she said, he thinks he's going through the buffet line.
Right, exactly. He expects to be fed.
But he was really good, and he came out with his tail wagging and not half asleep or anything.
Well, good.
And didn't act like anything had happened.
Good.
But all these animal stories, I don't know. I hope that's about it for now.
Well, it sounds like all's well.
Do you have animals?
Not anymore. We used to breed Bernese Mountain Dogs.
Oh, beautiful.
Yes, they were. But, you know, I'll tell you, it broke my heart because 100 years ago, there were only two dogs. And so that's not too much of a beefy family history there. And so these dogs don't live long. And when we started to breed them, they lived a little over 7 years. And by the time we stopped, they were down to below 7 years. And two things were happening. Number one was the dogs were becoming very popular, which was not good because that meant they were being bred far too fast. But the other thing that really just slayed me was Americans wanted those dogs to be a little smaller, you know, those kind of things. And so some unscrupulous breeders were breeding for size. And, of course, if you're trying to make the animal smaller, you inherently are trying to make the animal not as healthy. And so that didn't help. But there's a very high cancer in the line because of how recently there were only two ancestors. You know, I mean, 100 years is not a long time for a dog to be brought back from extinction. So they're being overbred, and it's just horrible because they're such a wonderful animal. And, you know, at one point we had five that we had kept in-house. And that was the maximum amount. But yeah, I can't tell you how many unscrupulous breeders exist in that world. I shudder at the thought.
Happy meals.
Oh, yeah, just absolutely. It's just horrible. Mm-hmm. And so now, you know, John and I have talked about it, but with both of our healths, we love big dogs especially. Can't do it, you know, can't physically do it right now. So it'll be a while.
Well, prior to Chubbs, I had two standard poodles.
Ah, very smart animals.
And they were smarter than I was.
Yes, no, they're very smart.
But they were healthy, I mean, until the very end.
Yeah.
They were very healthy dogs, and I got them when they were 2 years old from the breeder.
Mm-hmm. No, that's that breed is a fairly healthy breed. I think that's one of the reasons they're being used so much for all the doodles of the world, because they're a good starting stock. So yeah,
I don't like that crossbred stuff. I don't know,
the designer dogs. Well, I don't know that I'm too much of a fan, because you're not really sure what you're going to get. You may get lucky, but you may not. So
Make it the most of both breeds.
Yeah, it can go either way. But yeah, there's with poodles at least, there's such a wide variety of lineage, because they've been around for so long that they have minimal health problems compared to something that's relatively new on the scene. But one thing about a crossbreed in general is they tend to be a little healthier, because of course you're not producing the same traits that have been problematic for any given breed.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, it isn't. The crossbreeds are, they tend to have much less inherited problems.
Okay.
All right. Well, good to talk to you, Elizabeth.
Mine were pure poodles, and they were beautiful.
Oh, they are.
They died at 16 and 17.
And they will, yeah. Just a wonderful breed. Well, give Mr. Chubbs a hub for me, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Thanks
for listening.
All right.
Sally.
So 888-876-5593 if you want the final word. 8888 Raleigh on WGN Radio.
Sun promises another wonderful day, and good fortune is all along the way. When your heart is filled with gladness, 'cause true love has come to stay. These are happy, happy, happy summer days. Summer days. Every kiss will take us to a new world we'll explore, bringing thrills that we never knew before. When the one you love can show you what's behind that magic door, these are happy, happy, happy summer days. Summer days. These are happy, happy, happy summer days.
I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, that's it's Ronnie Dove, who was also on my list of folks. Now I have to find out what it was, that birthday, I think 88, isn't that the case? Yeah, All right, so happy birthday to Ronnie Dove on Diamond Records. Yeah, it seems like it was just yesterday. All right, tomorrow night is a replay of Monday Night Trivia, so please don't call, but enjoy the show if you like. And if you listen and you didn't hear the straggler from Monday, well, you will tomorrow night. Then Monday night on the 11th, yes, 9-11, we'll reconvene for live Monday Night Trivia, and we'll pick it up with the straggler right there. Until then, that pretty much is a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air. We thank John for screening your calls. I thank all three of you who called. Yeah, you made me work tonight. I'll tell you what, but hopefully you were at least listening and I wasn't talking to myself again. But either way, we'll be doing it again live on Monday. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.